Today is March 12th, 2019. This is Mysterion Truth Bible Study. And let's start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your truth. We thank you for leading us into all truth. Bless those hearers tonight that they may hear a good message, that their minds and hearts may be open, and they will receive what you have revealed to me, what you have taught me over the last couple of weeks. I will share with them and pray for their well-being and pray for their health in their business and their families. We pray for the body of Christ, all blessings, spiritual and heavenly places. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, I'm on the road a lot, and in the mornings I usually have breakfast by myself. So a couple of weeks ago I was sitting at breakfast one morning and just writing down some thought-provoking questions. And the first question that I listed was, how does the Bible define the church? So I began to check out a few resources. All I had was my iPhone, so I did a little Google search on the etymology of the word church. So that's the title of this lesson, etymology of the word church. Now I can hear Ronnie say, he et what? Etymology is the study of a word and its history, the origin of a word and its history. So, as usual, be a good Berean and study this out for yourself. So the word the Greek word ecclesia, translated as church in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, is the subject of this scrutiny. And I've asked Tony to assist me in posting some verses and some words. He has my script and he has some highlighted words that he's going to try to type in for me so you can see what I am saying. So Ephesians 1, 22, 23, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So on the internet, I found, and don't laugh at this, I looked up Wikipedia, and I found some interesting things. I'm not the only person that maybe had this question, because what I found, the etymology, and this is from Wikipedia on the word church, the etymology of this word is generally assumed to be from the Greek kurios, or oikos, the house of the Lord. But this is most improbable, as the word existed in all the Celtic dialects long before the introduction of the Greek. No doubt the word means a circle. The places of worship among the German and Celtic nations were always circular. Witness circular Stonehenge, the most ancient stone megalos on earth. Anglo-Saxon is pronounced Kirk, C-I-R-C-E. It's a hard K, hard C. It's pronounced Kirk or Kirky, a small church with a circle, C-I-R-C-O-L, a circle. In Scotland it's called K-I-R-K, Kirk, and in Germany it's called K-I-R-C-H-E. In England it's the word C-I-R-C-E, the C having the K sound. Kirk or Kirk is also the name of a goddess. Kirky or Kirky was the daughter of the sun god, who is famous for taming wild animals for her circus. Another quote from paleothio.com, Circe or Kirky was an evil or perhaps just cruelly quirky sorceress. She was very powerful and turned all Odysseus' men into swine. She also had the power to purify and cleanse the Argonauts of the murder of Apsyrtus. Her name means falcon, and that seems pretty appropriate for her character. Circe was the daughter of Helios, the sun and purse, and was the aunt of Medea. She was way dangerous because she was so powerful and bored. Quotes. Another quote from iHushua.com. Quote, Kirk, Kirky, Kirch, or Kirk. This is the word used in most English versions as a rendering of the New Testament Greek word ecclesia. Ecclesia really means a calling out, a meeting, or a gathering. Ecclesia is, or kohal means a building. Ecclesia is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew kohal, which means an assembly or a congregation. Neither ecclesia nor kohal means a building. Ecclesia, ecclesiastical sources, which means Catholic, give the origin as kyriakon or kyriakon in the Greek. However, to accept this, one has to stretch your imagination in an attempt to see any resemblance. Also, because kyriakon means a building, the house of Kyrios, which is the Lord, and not a gathering or meeting of people. As the words ecclesia and kohal imply, therefore, this explanation can only be originaries, however, are honest in revealing to us the true origin. They all trace the word back to its Old English or Anglo-Saxon root, namely Circe. Or Circe, the original word. And the origin of Circe? Well, any encyclopedia or dictionary of mythology will reveal to Circe who Circe was. She was the goddess daughter of Helios, the sun deity. Again, another form of sun worship, this time the daughter of the sun deity. Now, this is my comment. I have discovered that Circe or Circe is a character of witchcraft or sorcery in books and plays and movies and video games and Disney productions. So she is very much alive in the minds of people today. The question is, in the Bible, is the word church, as the word church, does she play the character of the false bride of Christ? Another quote from loveunlimited.org. It's a Dutch website. The name church was added in the Bible by the people who translated the word. But is that translation correct? The word church originates from the Greek word kyriakos or kyriakon, in our Dutch and English language translated as kirk and church. These Greek words are coming from the root of kyrios, which means Lord. The literal meaning of the same, of the name church is pertains to or belongs to a Lord. Now the question is, if these words that can be translated as church do appear in the Bible? The answer is yes. They do appear twice. In 1 Corinthians 11:20 and in Revelation 1:10. Oh, then what's the problem? Well, first of all, the two times that these words do appear, they appoint to something that belongs to the Lord. And in the case of 1 Corinthians 11:20, it points to the Lord's Supper. In Revelation 1:10, it points to the day of the Lord. But in both cases, it is certainly not pointing to the body of Christ. Secondly, in the other 115 times the translation church is used, it actually says something completely different. A different name and totally different meaning. In the other 115 times the translation church is used, it actually says ecclesia or related words and not kyriakos or kyriakon. End of quote. So when I returned home to my study resources, I searched further. I pulled out my Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, looked up the word church. Sure enough, it comes from the Saxon C-I-R-C-E, Circe or Kirky, Kirk or Kyrick, Scots Kirk, which retains the Saxon pronunciation, Dutch is Kirk, German is Kirchy, South Wales is Kirkia, Danish is Kirky, and then they throw in the Greek, which I can't pronounce, a temple of God from another Greek word, upiaxis, pertaining to a Lord or to our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a big jump. I looked up my Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament words, 1940. Church is not defined as a New Testament word. It's referred to the definition for assembly or congregation. I thought that was very interesting. Strong's Expanded Dictionary of the Bible Words, 2001, church is from ecclesia, meaning congregation. Also, very interesting how they bat. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. Strong is listed as found in 114 verses under the Greek form 1577 ecclesia, a calling out. And then it adds assembly or church. So whence the word church then in the scriptures? How did this translation of ecclesia to church come about? Just because the word church is found in Strong's as a translation of Greek ecclesia or Latin ecclesia with the C's instead of the K's does not mean it is a correct translation. How did the dictionary stretch to define church from Circe to mean house of the Lord or of pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ? That was a big jump. Is this a perversion that has sneaked in? We must be diligent in our study. Now, another website, Wikipedia, looked up ecclesia. Well, in ancient Athens, 4th century B.C., Aristotle's Constitution of the Athenians, ecclesia was the principal assembly of the democracy of ancient Athens. It was the popular assembly open to all male citizens as soon as they qualified for citizenship. In 594 BC, Solon allowed all Athenian citizens to participate, regardless of class. The assembly was responsible for declaring war, military strategy, and electing the strategoi and other officials. It was responsible for nominating and electing magistrates, thus indirectly electing the members of the Areopagus. It had the final say on legislation and the right to call magistrates to account for their year of service. A typical meeting of the assembly probably contained about 6,000 people out of a total citizen population of 30,000 to 60,000. It originally met once every month, but later met three or four times a month. The agenda for the ecclesia was established by the boule, the popular council. Votes were taken by show of hands, counting of stones, or voting using broken pottery. A quorum of 6,000 members was required sometimes to do business. The ecclesia elected by lot annually the boule. In ancient Greece, the ecclesia stereon was a building especially built for the purpose of holding the supreme meetings of the ecclesia. Like many other cities, Athens did not have an ecclesia stereon. Instead, the regular meetings of the assembly were held on the Pnyx, or Nyx, however you want to pronounce it, and it's spelled P-N-Y-X. And two annual meetings took place in the theater of Dionysus. Around 300 BC, the meetings of the ecclesia were moved to the theater. The meeting of the assembly could attract large audiences. 6,000 citizens might attend in Athens during the 5th century BC. End of quote. Another quote from loveunlimited.org, another Dutch organization, in a quote, in the time that the New Testament was written, an ecclesia was a governing body. It was a type of governing body that had authority to make laws, but they had the authority to execute the laws that were set by the higher governing body, the boule. a council of 500 people. The ecclesia was allowed to submit a decree or law proposal before the bele, but it was the bele who decided and approved the decrees or proposals. In our Dutch system, the ecclesia can be compared with the second chamber. I believe in other nations it is known as the House of Parliament, and the bele would be the first chamber or the Senate or the upper house. The Parliament is reigning, but nothing happens unless the Senate has approved it. The ecclesia was formed of and open for all native and free male citizens with 2 years military service. The agenda of the ecclesia was established by the bele. Now, here's my comment in the middle of this. In the United States, we have an assembly in Washington, D.C. that is a called out or elected governing body, albeit not currently functioning very well because of political disunity. The meaning of the word ecclesia is best defined as the called out ones, coming from the word ek, out, kaleo, called. But all this, putting all this in context, it leads to the meaning of a group of people who are called out of another group of people as a governing body with the obvious aim to reign. Now compare that meaning with the meaning of the word church, belongs to the Lord. There is nothing wrong with belonging to the Lord. In fact, it's an honor. But God wants us to understand that the task and privilege we have as a governing body of Christ, for which we will be held accountable, and as we know by now, name is identity. So name is a big deal. By renaming the governing body of Christ, Ecclesia, to belongs to the Lord, such as Kyrkios or church, it has been stripped in name of its true identity, the true aim, and the true authority. Every time we call the governing body of Christ the church, it is a proclamation of degradation. I was thus discussing this with my good buddy, Mr. Bickle, and he says, well, you know, the fraternity I belong to, the governing body was called the Ecclesia. So please understand, Ecclesia is not the Greek word for church. Lying awake early one morning, the Holy Spirit said to me, by its true etymology, the meaning of the word church is a place of false worship. Wow. The light came on. Not the light in the room, but light in my head came on. That was an aha moment. So whence the word church then in the scriptures? In Welch's book, Dispensational Truth, 4th edition, 1981, there is a page, number 28, devoted to the definition of the word church. He points out the various different churches identified in the scriptures, but we can take this right division even further. The Companion Bible in Appendixes 113, The Kingdom and the Church, and Appendix 186, Church, discusses the use of the Greek kahal, the Hebrew kahal, which occurs 123 times in the Old Testament, and ecclesia, which occurs 115 times in the New Testament, both of which refer to an assembly or gathering of called out ones. Again, this falls short of the real problem with the usage of the word church in the translations, which is using a definition of one word to define another word. So we must take it one step further. Oscar Baker wrote 32 articles in Truth for Today concerning several doctrinal aspects of the church, but nothing like this scrutiny of the use of the word church in scriptures. We will take it even deeper. Are you ready to go deeper? How did the word church find its way into the Bible in the first place? Since church is an English word, this had to occur in the translation or mistranslation into the English. Now, Jerome's Vulgate, Latin Vulgate, Ephesians 1:22 reads, and there's a bunch of Latin words, ends with ecclesium. Ecclesium ends in an M. Today means of the Catholic Church. John Wycliffe, the Morning Star of the Reformation of Yorkshire, England, may have unintentionally been the culprit. He translated the Latin into English in 1382 because he didn't know Greek. He translated the New Testament. Matthew 16:8, using a commonly known English word for the place of worship, he used churche, C-H-I-R-C-H-E, for ecclesium. William Tyndale, in his first English New Testament translation in 1526, uniformly translated the Greek ecclesia as congregation, and only used the word churches to translate Acts 19:37 for heathen temples. That's where they were saying, well, Paul and his friends weren't robbers of churches. Those were heathen temples. So this eventually cost William Tyndale his life because Rome did not allow any Bibles other than in Latin. Miles Coverdale, in 1535, his Bible was complete at the completion of Tyndale's 1526 work by adding the Old Testament in English. Thereby, the translation of Ecclesia stood as congregation. The translation to church, the translation was changed to church in the 1568 Bishop's Bible and the 1599 Geneva Bible. The 1582 Catholic Reims translation of the New Testament uses the word church. Now we come to the King James Version, 1604 to 1611. King James issued over a dozen rules that the translators had to follow. He disliked the Geneva Bible used by the Puritans because he believed that some of the comments in the margins were seditious and did not show enough respect for kings. King James' new translation was to have no commentary in the margins. King James favored the hierarchical structure of the Church of England and wanted the new translation to use words that supported a bishop-led hierarchy. In keeping with his preferred views in the church government, he specified the old ecclesiastical, again, that means from the Roman Catholic Church, the old ecclesiastical words are to be kept, as the word church is not to be translated congregation. So King James also ruled that only his new Bible could be read in the England's churches. The political motives of King James had a direct influence on the translation of the King James Version. His Majesty's instructions to the translators, there were 15 of them. Number 3 said, the old ecclesiastical words to be kept, such as the word church, not to be translated congregation. Number 14 of the 15 says, these translations to be used when they agree better with the text than the Bishop's Bible, Tyndale's, Coverdale's, Matthew's Bible, Whitchurch's Bible, and a Geneva Bible. So we can see how easily Satan can influence men to change or pervert the original meaning of his words in order to subtly distort the truth. The thing to keep in mind is that at the time of these first English translations, the only well-established Christian organization was the Roman Catholic. By committing the sin of presumption, Psalm 19:13, it claimed to represent true Christianity, as it still attempts to do today. The Catholic Church wielded great political power and authority in that part of the world. In fact, there was a gunpowder plot by the Jesuits to blow up the Parliament and King James in his first year in England. But let us go way back before William Tyndale to the earliest attempts to translate the scriptures into Anglo-Saxon, like the Wessex Gospels of 1990 AD, or Venerable Bede in the 7th century, or Aldhelm, Bishop of Shelbourne. Could they have introduced the Anglo-Saxon word churchy in place of ecclesia? John Wycliffe of Yorkshire translated the word churchy for ecclesia, which he could have picked up from these earlier partial translations. So, who changed the meaning of ecclesia to mean a place rather than a called out people? Let's back up in time and see how this could have come about. Because people do not understand Satan's power of deception and how he works in the doctrinal realm, they are unaware how Satan understood the mystery of the body of Christ revealed to Paul, and how he proceeded to create an imitation that claimed itself to be the mystical church and the body of Christ. It is my opinion that the source of this perversion is Satan's imitation church established in Rome. The first council of this non-biblical institution was the Council of Nicaea in AD 325. The purpose of this council was to adopt a creed and set forth a canon of laws and create its own man-made governing body. Christians were being persecuted in Rome not because of their belief in Jesus Christ, but because they would not also worship the pagan gods as well. Early Christians met in homes or caves or secret places because of persecution. There were no established places of worship. Constantine was a pagan emperor who embraced Christianity in the 4th century, but infused it with paganism. Constantine confiscated pagan temples and converted them to Christian temples. The first physical church structures were man's attempt to imitate God's holy temple using pagan circes or churches containing idols and relics. Some early church architecture resembled the public meeting hall next to the Roman palace called a basilica. I've been in several basilicas in Rome when I was there in 2006. These were places where they were designated places where the Pope could actually celebrate a mass. They had to meet certain criteria for the Pope. A cathedral is an imitation throne of authority. A chapel comes from the word cape or cloak, and it came from a relic of a torn coat from St. Martin, and it was used for a place of worship. So all these circumvent true worship. I'm thinking of the Chapel of the Open Book. Even that word chapel comes from relics, worship of relics or pagan things. By the usurpation of the Holy Spirit by the Pope, focus shifted from God's calling out of a company of people to the physical structure housing a man-made religion. The Council of Nicaea was the first assembly to take steps. Canon 11 of the Council of Nicaea describes in detail a physical religious structure divided into four parts, including an outer court, a porch, a temple, and an altar. The word naos, N-A-O-S, in the New Testament referred to the inner temple, while the hieron, the hieron, H-I-E-R-O-N, was the outer court. So similarly, the main body of this imitation temple was also called the naos or nave, N-A-V-E. The people called the laity were divided into groups. The weepers and the sinners were the lowest order who had to remain outside and beg for prayers of the faithful. The second class of penitents were restricted to the first section within the church and were made up of hearers only, such as Jews and heretics and even the demon-possessed. The third order was called the kneelers and prostrators who could enter the main body of the nave. The next order was the believers or the faithful who could fully participate in the divine mysteries called sacraments and were in full communion with the church. The highest group was the order of the clergy, the bishops, the priests, the deacons, who alone could enter the raised portion of the building called the sanctuary, where existed the altar, the holy table, and the bishop's throne. Man, you talk about, they just re-erected the middle wall partition and probably patched up the veil. This is the doctrine and practice of the Nicolaitans, referred to in Revelation 2:6 and 2:15. That's the Greek word for conquered the people, which is the same meaning of the Hebrew Balaam, B-A-L-A-A-M, Balaam. Thereby, the assembly, or called out ones, ecclesia, became a place instead of a calling out. About the time of the Reformation and the translation of Bibles, the Council of Trent in 1545 to 1563 condemned the Protestantism and any Christianity outside of the Catholic Church, and their belief in justification by faith alone, and their belief in the primacy of the Bible as the only source of revealed truth. It placed tradition on equal authority with the scriptures as a rule of Can you be back? Can you hear me? Okay. Sorry. Don't know what happened. So thereby the assembly or called out ones, the ecclesia became a place instead of being out. About the time of the Reformation, the translation of Bibles and the translation of Bibles, the Council of Trent, 1545 to 1563, condemned Protestantism and any Christianity outside the Catholic Church in their belief of justification by faith alone and their belief in the primacy of the Bible as the only source of revealed truth. It replaced tradition on equal authority with the scriptures as a rule of faith. It confirmed Jerome's Latin Vulgate to be authoritative for the text of the scriptures. Translated Bibles were confiscated and burned along with those found to possess them. Maybe early believers saw the evil that was growing in the organized church better than we believers see it today. The church had become a place of worship, a place of false worship, using relics and idolatry and clerical hierarchy and the control of the laity, the doctrine and the practice of the Nicolaitans. My Catholic Bible, the New American Bible 1972, contains an encyclopedic dictionary which has the following definition for the word church. Definition number one, a place where Christians assemble, a building devoted to divine worship. It is from the Greek kariakon, meaning the Lord's house, used to designate the house of God from the beginning of the 4th century. Well, that's the Council of Nicaea we just talked about. Definition number two of the church, the Catholic Church. The body of Christians who profess faith in Christ, united under one visible head, the Pope, who is the vicar of Christ on earth. So the church means the Catholic Church. Look again at the first definition. It's a place. Church is from the Greek kariakon, which means house of the Lord. No, that is not true. It comes from the Anglo-Saxon kirkie or circe. The Greek form kariakon is not found in the original language of the scriptures. It is not from the word of God. Kyrios means supreme in authority. God, Lord, Master, or Sir. Kyriakon or Kyriakon simply could mean of the Lord or of the Master. It does not even mean a building. By the second definition, the Roman Catholic Church falsely claims to be the only true church, thereby claiming every translation of the word ecclesia in the New Testament refers to the Catholic Church. An interesting observation is that the first verse where the word church is found in the New Testament is Matthew 16:18, which is the verse on which the Roman Catholic Church plants its flag and claims its foundation. Therefore, in their mind, every use of the word church in the New Testament implies the Catholic Church. It is my belief that after three or four centuries, those English Catholics, such as Venerable Bede, who translated segments of the New Testament into the Anglo-Saxon language, had been taught to believe that the ecclesia represented a place of worship. The Anglo-Saxon word they understood to mean a place of worship came from the word used for a place of idol worship in the occult world, which is C-H-I-R-C-E, churchy, which derives from Circe or Circe or Kirk or Kirchy. When King Ethelbert, remember King Ethelbert, my last study, he invited Augustine to bring monks to Canterbury, England. The Canterbury Cathedral became the ecclesiastical center of England. So where did the church begin? Did the church begin at Matthew 16, or Acts 2, or Acts 13, or after Acts 28? Well, here comes another early morning revelation. Yeah, I can't believe it, but the Holy Spirit said to me, if you want to know where the church began in scriptures according to its true etymology, now this is a hard saying, we must take this perversion back to its genesis, Genesis 11. We must go back to the first brick and mortar church, the Tower of Babel. Wow. There are two books of Revelation. One is written in the heavens. According to Josephus, this one was established by Adam and Seth and Enoch, and is laid out in a circle starting with Virgo and ending with Leo. And Dr. Mike has been talking about that for several weeks. The corrupt seed of Ham, Cush, and Nimrod perverted God's witness in the stars by turning astronomy into astrology, making the false gods of the constellations and planets. The Tower of Babel, whose top with the heavens, see the companion Bible note on Genesis 11:4, whose top with the heavens was erected in rebellion of God and used for worship of the zodiac. This is where the circular places of pagan worship come from. Notice how church steeples today and spires reach to the heavens as a resemblance of the Tower of Babel. What happened in 325 AD was the reinstitution of the Tower of Babel. The word church today has its roots in the Tower of Babel. Satan imitates God's confusion of Nimrod's people at Babel by creating doctrinal confusion among Christians, resulting in thousands of divisions, whether denominations or non-denominations, as in, let us make a name. The church began at Babel in Genesis and will end in Babylon in Revelation 18. It's no coincidence that Revelation 18:4 caused me to leave the Catholic Church at age 30. So the sun deity worship and Circe tie into the history of the Roman Catholic Church. Roman Catholicism is saturated with pagan influences too numerous to mention. The reason they celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th is to coincide with the worship of the sun god and the celebration of the winter solstice. To this very day, the occult refer to themselves as churches. For example, the Church of Illumination, the Church of Wicca, which is witchcraft. It is no wonder there are many warnings of the occult infiltrating the churches. Duh, that is where the word church comes from. Now, let's go to Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. In a desperate attempt to find a mandate to go to church, in the New Testament, the scripture verse most quoted by many Christians is Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, that would be us, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Well, the word translated assembling is the Greek form 1997, episynagoge, gathering upon the same place or gathering together. The same word, episynagoge, is used in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So these forms come from the Greek form 4864. Synagogue means assembly or congregation of people, from which comes synagogue, which now means a place where Jews gather. May I refer you to the last two paragraphs of Appendix 19 of the Companion Bible, and I quote, this is why Satan is quite content that the letter of the scripture should be accepted in Genesis 3, as he himself accepted the letter in Psalms 91:11. He himself could say, it is written, as in Matthew 4:6, to Christ, so as to the letter of what is written could be put instead of the truth that is conveyed by it, and so long as it is misquoted or misapplied. This is his object, perpetuating the traditions of the snake and the apple, because it ministers to the acceptance of his lie, the hiding of God's truth, the support of tradition, the jeers of the infidel, the opposition of the critics, and the stumbling of the weak in faith. Close quote. The Greek form ecclesia is mistranslated in most English Bibles as church, thereby deceiving the very elect, if that were possible. How is that deceiving, do you ask? Well, to man, the word church now means a place, or by association, a denomination. God's intention was to convey the concept of a group of people called out of a broader group of people for a specific calling and purpose. Over time in the scriptures, there were different called out groups to be distinguished. By the use of one wrong word, the doctrine is perverted, which creates confusion instead of unity. It robs the believer of understanding and the associated rewards. It may be true that each Christian assembly has a governing body, even if we remove the designation of church. And some of the members of each assembly may be called out from among sinners to be saved in Christ. And I am sure each assembly believes that they are the members of the body of Christ by their own self-election and declaration by their creeds. However, if it were God's election, they would come to a completely different understanding of scriptures. So let us recap what we've learned so far. The word church is derived from Circe or Kirke, which is pagan in origin and meaning. According to the etymology and definition of the word church, it is a place for worship of a god. From its foundation, the word church came to be a place of pagan worship or worship of false gods. The word church could be defined as a place of false worship. The word church does not come from Kyriakon of the Master, as the Roman church would make you believe. That is a false etymology. The word church is a false translation of the Greek form ecclesia. The word church should not appear in the correct English translation of the Bible. The world's use of the word church as it stands today, ironically, may be correct by its true definition. Even the dictionaries have taken the bait to stretch the meaning of the word church. The word church does not come from Kyriakos, which means of the Lord. It does not come from Kehal or Ecclesia, which means an assembly or called out governing body. It is wrong to use those Greek forms as the origin of the word church. Strong's exhaustive concordance is party to the lie. The word church should not be included in the translation of ecclesia. This is an invention of the evil one. It was 325 AD when the ecclesia was changed from a called out people to a place of worship. This triggered an error in the early Anglo-Saxon translations of the New Testament, which has survived to this day in most English translations, to the demise of the truth of the scriptures among Christians. When you research the etymology of the word church or just a definition of church in a Christian encyclopedia, you will find all the mistranslated uses and man-made doctrines of ecclesia because of the lack of right division. This invention perpetuates the lie to those whose understanding has been darkened. Ephesians 4:18. Because the word ecclesia has been erroneously translated and the definition perverted, Satan can keep believers from knowing the truth of the gospel of the mystery. Does this not tie into the difference in the New Testament between the mystery of iniquity, wrong worship, and the mystery of godliness, correct worship? Satan has a will, and many, including myself, are easily taken captive by it. Sometimes we unknowingly speak it and teach it, and ardently defend it. Many write volumes explaining it, which leads to many a Bible student astray. I thank my Lord and my head, Christ Jesus, for revealing to us his truth in the light. I'm going to wrap it up here. The church under right division. As always, the use of the principle of right division, 2 Timothy 2:15, and the understanding of dispensational truth regarding the body of Christ enables a deeper layer of scrutiny than that which is possible by traditional theology. There has been no version of the Bible published under the principle of right division and the understanding of dispensational truth, not even an English one. Therefore, translating the Greek ecclesia as church is not walking upright in the truth, as Paul would say to Peter. The Greek form ecclesia should never be translated as the English word church. Whenever we refer to the body of Christ of which we are a part, the word church is a complete misnomer and somewhat degrading. Factually and actually, the word church is not found in the original language anywhere in God's word. So we should rightly divide it out of our mind and out of our conversation. Just recently, I have been saying that I do not go to church because I am the church. Is that correct? Absolutely not. I have just admonished myself by this study. I have also declared the church is not a building or a denomination. It's the body of Christ. Is that correct? Absolutely not. I have just learned a great lesson, a renewing of the mind by this study, that by its etymology, the church is a place and the body of Christ is an elect assembly of people. This you know. Under the present dispensation of the mystery, we are called out once to a specific calling and purpose. We are a called out governing body or assembly, a body with Christ as the head of the assembly. We are called out to a heavenly calling and a purpose which is separate from the earthly calling and purpose of Israel. We are being called out from among those who believe that they are of the kingdom calling of with Israel. The expression, the church which is his body, in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 is not a correct translation. It should be translated something like, and made him the head over all things to those called out to be his governing body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. After checking many other English translations of Ephesians 1, 22 to 23, I was delighted to find two translations that agree with what I just stated. John Nelson Darby's 1890 translation reads, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the assembly, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And Robert Young's literal translation, 1898, states, and all things he did put under his feet and did give him head over all things to the assembly, which is his body, the fullness of him who is filling the all in all. This brings to mind that one denomination which uses the correct translation in their name, the Assemblies of God, although they are Pentecostal in doctrine and they probably still go to church. The Jehovah Witnesses meet in a kingdom hall. The Friends or Quakers have meeting places. Not all denominations use the term church. Even the seven assemblies in Asia in the book of Revelation were admonished by the Lord for their misguided doctrines and practices that came from the deception of the evil one. Therefore, we are hereby admonished to refer to ourselves as the body of Christ and not the church, which is his body, which has been so impressed in my mind. Church has pagan roots and is brought into the Bible by Satan through the political Roman church to circumvent the meeting. Our calling is far removed from the traditional and counterfeit understanding of church. We are not a church of any kind, as the corruption of God's word so deceives. Although we are of the Lord, but even so are other groups in their respective dispensations. So what is the answer to my original question? How does the Bible define the church? It does not define the church, because the word church is not found in the correct translation of the original words of God. Church is man's word originating from pagan worship and a political church. It is not God's word. The church is not the body of Christ. Trying to convince a Christian today that the word church is not in the word of God It's like trying to convince a Christian that Christmas is a pagan holiday or that we are not under a new covenant. That egg is already fried, and my mama says you can't unfry an egg, but the Holy Spirit can unfry that egg. Nevertheless, let us cheer and claim a victory. We have just quenched a major fiery dart of the evil one. In fact, we may have just quenched a rocket grenade. Hallelujah. May all the glory of this study be given to the Lord and His Holy Spirit who leads us to all truth. Grace and peace from our Lord and Head, Christ Jesus, to all the elect members of the body of Christ. Amen.